The following program is brought to you by friends and partners of End Time Headlines.
Welcome, everybody, to the broadcast. It is Friday, February 18th. This is End Time Headlines, news and headlines from a prophetic perspective. We want to welcome all of our Facebook Live audience at this time. Thank you guys for hopping on here today on this Friday afternoon to the broadcast. As always, if you're new, we want to hear from you. If this is your first time joining us, please let us know in the comment section below that you are new to the broadcast and this is your first time joining us. And as always, we appreciate hearing from you. Real quick, if you've not downloaded our free app at the end of this broadcast, please go and do that. You can find it at the Apple Store or your Android Store. It is free for your convenience. If you're listening to this broadcast and you don't have the visual in front of you, just go to your Apple Store or your Android Store and you just type in End Time Headlines. You're going to look for our official ETH logo of our ministry. Download that app, get it into your hands, get it free, get all of our news and headlines from a prophetic perspective right there at your fingertips, as well as our latest podcast that you can either watch or listen at your convenience. So today we got a good one lined up for you today. I'm going to be discussing the something that's going on in China that I think we need to be paying attention to, because it's only a matter of time until this becomes global. I believe persecution is going to reach the shores of America that we've never seen before. And then I'm going to talk about, since we're on the subject of America, I'm going to talk about the transformation of America that is happening and that is accelerating and that I believe all fits into Bible prophecy. So without further ado, let me give you some scripture here to get to kick off our segment. Matthew 24, 9 and 13. This is going to kick off our first the first half of our segment. Before we move into the second half, we're going to be dealing with some stuff that's going on and with China. Matthew 24, 9 through 13. It's for you guys that are watching the visual, you can see that come up on your screen. For you guys that are listening, I'm just going to read this from the New King James. Then they will deliver you. He's speaking to believers of Yeshua, followers of Christ, Christians. Then they will deliver you up to tribulation and kill you. Now, some will argue and say this is just the Jewish people. Yes, it will refer to the Jewish people, but there will be believers that will be in the tribulation that have rejected the mark of the beast, that have rejected to follow the Antichrist, or they've been saved during the tribulation. So this refers to all those who are in Christ, are following Christ. Then they will deliver you. Who is they? They are the governmental authorities, the nations of the world, the tyrannical leaders of the world, the globalists of that day that will be led by the Antichrist. They will deliver you up to tribulation and kill you. And you, look at this, you Christians will be hated by how many nations? All nations, not just China, not just Saudi Arabia, not just Syria, not just Lebanon, not just Iraq, not just North Korea. It says there will come a time, future tense, that the animosity, the hatred of Christianity will become so great and so widespread that believers will be hated by all nations for his name's sake. Notice they won't be hated by their affiliation with other religions or other prophets or other deities or other idols. They will be hated for the name of Jesus and for his sake. And then many will be offended. Hello, we're there now, guys. They will betray one another and they will hate one another. And then many false prophets will rise up. Notice that false prophets rise up right in the midst of hatred, offense, animosity, tribulation, It's the breeding ground for false prophets to arise, and they will rise up and deceive many. And because lawlessness will be abounding, the love of many will grow cold. And again, let me read the rest of this. But he who endures to the end, the same shall be saved. Guys, take a look around. Watch your local news outlets. Pick up a newspaper and read it. Look at headlines constantly. Look at the madness. Look at the lawlessness. Look at the disregard for morality. Look for the disregard for law and order and civil obedience. It's being thrown by the wayside. Lawlessness is abounding. The love of many is waxing cold. And we're seeing offense on a high, on an all-time level. People are offended about everything and anything that can remotely be close to being a cause of offense. It's there and it's prevalent. You got people getting thrown off of airplanes because they have a face mask that says something on it that's quote unquote offensive to somebody else. You got some nuts that call themselves teachers that are putting things on cupcakes and giving it to students that is absolutely detestable. You got old women and old men being that are being bullied and being robbed and being mugged. I mean, it's everywhere, prevalent. But there is something that's going on in China that has really got my attention, and I believe it's something that's very worthy to be talked to, we need to talk about. China's, according to a new report, now this report circulated a while back, but now there's been, apparently it has escalated even farther. According to a report coming out of China, this was from CBNnews.com, the Chinese Communist government is reportedly rewriting the Bible. Now, we could stop right there and I could talk about how the Bible, even in the Word of God, the Lord warns, if anyone adds or takes away to the words of this prophecy, and you could find it in the book of Revelation, then their name shall be blotted out of the Lamb's book of life. Now, how much more consequence would come to anyone who dares to take it upon themselves to rewrite the Bible, and doing so, listen to this, call Jesus a sinner. But that's not all, according to this report. Let me give you a little bit of, I'm going to give you a little bit of this report. The Chinese Communist Party's China's ruling regime has been on a mission to rewrite the Bible through a communist lens. Shock, right? This quest has reportedly resulted in shocking distortions of scripture and gospel truth. Guys, again, this happened during the reign of Hitler. This is nothing. This same propaganda was happening during the time of Nazism. A spokesman for the Voice of Martyrs, which is a persecution watchdog serving Christians across the globe, told FaithWire publication about the Chinese government's ongoing efforts to reimagine the Bible. Quote, this is a project that the Chinese Communist Party announced in 2019. Again, I told you just a few minutes ago that this is something that they started this 3 years ago. But we have a new update. At that time, they said it would be a 10-year process to release a, quote, new translation of the Bible. He said, quote, noting it would include Confucian and Buddhist principles, among others. Again, notice how they pull in other deities and other religions, and they mingle it into the Bible and retranslate it. Now, before we start lashing out on China, I'll just have you know, guys, with all these new translations of the Bible, this is already happening in America. So before we go looking overseas to China for this, what we would deem to be heresy, you need to pick up some of these newer translations of the Bible in your local Christian bookstore if you can still find one, because most of them are already closed and you have to go online. But even in a Walmart or a Barnes and Noble, if you can find one, or wherever you get your books at, if there is a physical book there to find, some of these newer translations of the Bible has removed entire passages of the Bible. They've rewritten it and they've retranslated it to where, listen to me, that it's not offensive and takes away the necessity of the blood and of the cross and of repentance, and even removing references to the blood of Jesus and the necessity that he is the way, the truth, and the life. And that he who knew no sin became sin, that we may have the righteousness in Christ Jesus our Lord. But yet we see again, so this is happening. This is not just happening in China, but China is taking it a step further. And in their retranslation process, they're rewriting and rewording it to where it looks at, they're taking away the deity of Yeshua, of Christ, and saying, and going as far as saying something that is total blasphemy, and saying that Jesus was a sinner. Now, why is that blasphemy? Because if Jesus was a sinner, he could not be the Son of God, the Son of Man, the Son of David. He could not be the high priest, according to the book of Hebrews, of the profession of your and I's faith. He could not take away the sins of the world. He could not be the lamb that was slain before the foundation of the world. Thus, removing his deity and removing him as the Messiah. In other words, it makes him just another prophet. And by the way, this is viewed through the lens of most other religions out there, that Jesus was not the Son of God. He was not the Messiah. He was not the Son of David, and he's not the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, but they deem him as just another good teacher, a rabbi, or another good prophet. This new translation would really support the Communist Party, according to this report. Watch Nettleton discuss the shocking Bible translation as well as broader religious freedom issues raging in China. According to the Voice of the Martyrs, who recently shared a reimagined, is what they're calling it, version or translation of the Bible's revered story centered on Jesus' love and corrective compassion for a woman caught in adultery. Quote, "The Chinese Communist Party announced plans to update the Bible." Well, that's awfully nice of them, but who asked you to update it? We don't need an update to the Bible. We're good. Jesus Christ said, "I am the same yesterday, today, forever." That's all we need to know. Oh, listen, I'm gonna preach it anyway. The Bible doesn't need an update based on what you believe is culturally acceptable or popular, or what you feel like is offensive and what is not. We don't need the woke society putting their grubby hands on the Bible. Leave it alone. Jesus said, "Heaven and earth shall pass away, but not one jot nor tittle of this word shall pass away." So listen to me. You can keep watering it down. You can keep revising it. You can keep retranslating it. And you can keep messing with it until you strip away everything that makes the Bible living and convicts you of your sins. And then you're left with nothing that is able to transform individuals. But I'm going to tell you something based on the original written word of God. For thousands of years, nations, leaders, tyrannical dictators, regimes, and the list goes on, has tried to erase the Bible, destroy the Bible, remove the Bible, revise the Bible. They've tried to eliminate Christianity. They've tried to do all this. But I've got news for you. Jesus said, "The very gates of hell shall not prevail against the church." And he said, heaven and earth is going to pass away, but not one jot nor tittle of this word shall pass away until all things be fulfilled. And the very fact that they are pursuing this is more credence to the fact that we are seeing Bible prophecy fulfilled before our very eyes. See, Satan is so stupid. Before we point fingers at the leader of China, the regime of China, or whatever, any other leader, remember, we wrestle not against flesh and blood. We got to remember who's behind this. Satan is trying to perform this. He is trying to accomplish this. Why? Because he knows prophecy. Did you know that? Some of you don't know Bible prophecy, but Satan does. In fact, your Bible says that we will come to a time in the future when things start accelerating to a point where Satan knows his time is short, and he will come down with great wrath upon the saints. He will attempt to wear down the saints. He will attempt to change times and seasons. And he will orchestrate it all through his master puppets, the Antichrist and the false prophet. What better way, listen to me, what better way to numb down a generation and deceive a group of people than to take away, if we can't take away the word of God, we'll just dilute it and we'll water it down and we'll transform it until it is left powerless. So listen to this. The Chinese Communist Party announced plans to update the Bible to keep pace with the times. Again, it's not just China, folks. It's right here in your neck of the woods. They're doing it with the Bible. Can I go to the pulpits? Even your preachers and your pastors and your evangelists and whoever gets up behind the pulpits across America and across Europe and across other locations around the world, you have these new woke pastors and these new revised Protestants and Catholics and Baptists and Pentecostals, and they get up and they're no longer preaching on the core fundamentals of the Word of God, doctrine, sound doctrine, any of this stuff. Instead, they're preaching humanism and New Age and mysticism and whatever makes you feel good. Let me read the rest of this. The revisions will include adding core socialist values and removing passages, there you go, that do not reflect communist beliefs. Are we not doing that with our modern translations? Well, I don't like that. I don't like that passage over there that talks about a sin that I want to hold on to. So I need a revised edition that doesn't condemn that lifestyle and condemn that sin, but caters to it. A VOM Facebook post read, quote, in a textbook for high school students released in September of 2020, the authors included a passage from John chapter 8 as revised in their new version. Before we explore the revised communist version, let's look at John 8 as it stands in the genuine, authentic Bible. Quote, as the famous forgiveness story goes, the Pharisees bring out a woman caught in adultery before them and challenge Jesus, proclaiming, quote, teacher, this woman was caught in the very act of adultery. In the law, Moses commanded us to stone such a woman. Now, what do you say? Quote, the Bible notes that these Jewish leaders were using this question as a trap to accuse Jesus. Still, Christ started writing on the ground. He wrote in the dirt with his finger, and nobody knows what he wrote. It's we can speculate all day long. Quote, it's a mystery what he was writing. And then he uttered some transformational words in verse 7. Quote, let any of you who is without sin be the first to throw a stone or cast your stone. After the people, clearly shaken by the words of Christ, walked away, and Christ and the woman were left standing together, and their exchange was as follows. Christ, quote, woman, where are your accusers? Has no one condemned you? And the woman says, no one, sir. And the Lord responded with, quote, then neither do I condemn you. Go now and leave your life of sin. Or the King James says, go and sin no more. Now listen to this. The Chinese Communist Party reportedly has a different vision for how this interaction unfolded. Quote, an anti-biblical account that flies in the face of scriptural truth. Here it is. And the Chinese government's new version, purportedly observed in a textbook published in September of 2020, the crowd disperses. Listen to this. But then the text says, again, this is the Chinese revised edition, says, quote, when everyone went out, Jesus stoned the woman himself and said, quote, I am also a sinner. What? Wow. Let me say that again. In the new revised edition of the Chinese Bible, the crowd disperses. When Jesus is riding in the dirt after the woman was caught with an adultery. And according to the revised edition, Jesus takes up stones and stones the woman himself and turns around to the people and said, quote, I am also a sinner. This is unbelievable. The transformed language directly aims at Jesus' divinity. Quote, in one sense, it's just like so arrogant to think, quote, I'm going to rewrite the story of Jesus. But then you think about denying the deity of Christ. Again, this is the words of Nettleton. Again, he's the individual with the voice of the martyrs who's reporting this, giving this report to CBN. He said, then you think about the deity or denying the deity of Christ. And he said, quote, if Jesus is a sinner, then he's not God. Hello. So, but isn't that the whole point? For anyone wondering why the Chinese Communist Party would take such troubling steps to try and diminish the gospel, Nettleton went on further and said, it has everything to do with control. Are you hearing me? Control. Now, again, for all those watching in your comfort zone in America or wherever you're watching and you don't understand, you can't relate to this, we're not seeing any kind of persecution like this where in your neck of the woods. I want to remind you, based on scripture, that it's not a matter of if, but when this comes knocking on our forefront. Let me give you another verse of scripture, prophetically speaking. This is John chapter 16, verses 1 through 3. John 16, verses 1 through 3, quote, these things I've spoken to you, this is Jesus speaking to us, the believers, that you should not be made to stumble. How are you not made to stumble? You got to stay. Listen, if you have a Bible in your hand that has not been tainted, that has not been diluted, that has not been revised, that has not been watered down, and whole passages removed, my Lord, cherish it, keep it, lock it away, get more copies of it. I'm going to pull this away and talk for a second. I'll go back to it. Listen, I remember old timers used to tell me when I got saved, when I was 23 years of age, I remember going out to eat with some of our older folks at the church, and we would sit around and we would talk about times, the signs of the times of the coming of the Lord. And we would talk about that persecution would come. We talked about, you know, these very things that we're talking about, these things that we're seeing happening in full color in our lifetime. And I remember they sat around and they said, if you have a Bible, keep it and cherish it and watch for that thing, and just like keep that thing close to you like you would your own child. And I remember they used to say, you know, if they advise going out and getting more Bibles and just collecting them and keeping them, because I remember they used to say there would come a time when they will come for the Bible and they will take away the Bible. They'll stop publishing the Bible. Oh, and isn't it interesting that now we have a shortage of papers and publications. Authors who are publishing new books, they can't even get their books published because there's such a delay and back order on publishing. Now, what is it that convenient if they come along and say, you know, we can't really get Bibles on the shelves because other publishers that they're going to deem way more important, they're going to push them on the front burner and they're going to push those Bibles on the back burner. And they're going to say, well, you know, we will get them when we get them, but we just can't get to them. I could really see this happening. So you'll go to your Walmart, you'll go to your bookstore, whatever you go and get your Bible, and you won't find them on a shelf. And you'll have to get a digital version. And listen, guys, I'm all about technology. To an extent, I've got an iPad. I've got Kindle. I've got books on Kindle. I've got the Bible on Kindle. I enjoy it. It is convenient. I love it. I like it. But I'm also not ignorant to the fact to know that that stuff is not reliable in the event that something was to happen with the power grid. Or did you know that the powers that be can just flip a switch? And even though you have paid for your books on Kindle and you have downloaded them, they can restrain you from reading them, whether it's on your Kindle or your, what is it called? These other electronic book reading apps and stuff that are alternatives. They can flip a switch. They can do what they can do, and they can prevent you from reading this, even though you paid for it. In fact, they already have done this with authors that the woke movement has canceled, and publishers like Amazon and so forth has completely removed these books, even though people has purchased them. So guys, listen, can you not see this coming down the pike? Let me get back to the scripture. I didn't mean to take that long of a rabbit trail, but I want to show you this. These things I've spoken to you that you should not be made to stumble. Listen to this. They will put you out of the synagogues. Today, we could translate that as synagogues or churches or house meetings. Did you know in the state of California, there was individuals having home Bible studies in their home, and the city came in and restricted them from doing that. And they were banning Bible studies in homes. They will put you out of synagogues. They will put you out of churches. They will put you out of home groups. They will put you out of gatherings. Yes, the time is coming. Somebody say, the time is coming. The time is now. And it's happening. It may not be in America. Now listen, that whoever kills you will think that he offers God's service. In other words, they will kill believers and believe they're doing God a favor, or they're doing it in the name of God. Now, I'm not going to do it, but I could really expound on that, because that's been happening for thousands of years. I think many of you guys are smart enough to know what I'm talking about. And these things they will do to you. Listen to this. Here's where it all boils down to. They will do these things to you, and they will do them to us, because they have not known the Father nor the Son. Did you hear me? They're doing it out of ignorance. They're doing it out of ignorance, friend. Persecution. Why? It's the same with Saul of Tarsus. Saul was thought he was doing a religious duty. He thought he was obeying the word of God. He thought he was obeying the will of God. He was capturing believers. He was putting them in prison. He was burning down churches. He was martyring He was killing Christians. He was causing Christians to blaspheme God and thought he was doing God's service, but he was doing it out of ignorance until the day he had an encounter with God on the road to Damascus. So you want to know how you handle this biblically? First of all, you got to be equipped with the knowing of what's going on. And that's what our ministry does. We're going to bring what's in darkness to light and expose it as watchmen on the wall. But you as believers, you have to intercede and you have to pray for those individuals in China. Why? Because the God of this age has blinded their eyes and their minds and their hearts, lest they believe. Pray, don't pray just for the Chinese people, but also pray for even those in the Communist Party. Pray for the president of China. Listen, you don't think he can have a radical encounter with the Holy Spirit? You don't think he can have a dream? You don't think he can have a vision? You don't think he can have a visitation by an angel of God and God just completely wreck him in the spirit and he completely, just like Saul of Tarsus, become Paul and be raised up and begin to preach the gospel? Come on. Listen, if you think that's impossible, you don't serve the same God I do. So this is how we need to be praying, guys. This is happening, and it may not be on our shores, and it may not be on our doorstep, but listen to me, it is coming. It's not a matter of if, but a matter of when. Now, let me prove that to you. Let me give you some more scripture, and this is going to lead us to right where we're going. We're going to shift gears and go to our second segment, so this is all going to tie together. You guys have heard me quote this over and over again, so I finally decided I'm just going to put it up on the screen so you guys are taking notes. You can write this down. Ecclesiastes chapter 1, verses 9 and 10. This was written by Solomon, the son of David. That which has been, past tense, history, is what will be, future tense. And that which is done is what will be done. And there is nothing new under the sun. Is there anything of which it may be said, quote, see, this is new. It has already been in ancient times before us. Listen, everything we just discussed on our first segment, our first half of this segment, the revision, the rewriting, the watering down, the attempted removal of the Bible, the persecution of the believers, all this happened to the early church. There's a whole book out there called The Fox's Book of Martyrs. And it tells you in detail how each one of the apostles were killed for their faith in Jesus. And again, the early church suffered persecution. The disciples suffered persecution. What makes you and I believe that we are exempt from persecution? Just because we live in America or we live in wherever we're at right now and we don't see this stuff coming knocking on our doors or barging our door down to suffer this kind of persecution, don't get too comfortable, my friend. I'm going to keep saying it. It's coming because the thing which was is the thing which shall be. And I just read to you that scripture. The time will come. The time will come. When mother will turn against daughter and daughter against mother and father against son and husband against wife, you an offense will arise on us. Listen, if we think it's crazy right now with the offense and the persecution, it's going to go to a whole other level. Paul said in the church of Thessalonica, or in he said to the church of Thessalonica in his writings in Thessalonians, that the spirit of lawlessness is already at work and will only increase until the revealing of the lawless one. So all this is doing, guys, is paving the way for the arrival of the Antichrist, who will bring unprecedented persecution against the saints. Now, let me give you another verse. Now we're shifting gears. We're going into the second half of this segment. This is in Luke 17. This is in Luke 17, 26 through 30. Jesus again gives us what I call a cryptic prophetic clue of what the culture will be like in the days of his coming. And he points to the past. Again, just like Solomon said, the thing which was is the thing that shall be. Luke 17, 26, as it was in the days of Noah, so will it be in the days of the Son of Man. They ate, they drank, they married wives. They were given in marriage until the day that Noah entered the ark and the flood came and destroyed them all. Likewise, as it also was in the days of Lot, they ate, they drank, they bought, they sold, they planted, they built. But on the day that Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. Even so shall it be in the day when the Son of Man is revealed. Now, I want to emphasize something here. You have to go and do your own homework. Go and study in the Bible, in the book of Genesis. Go study the timeline and time frame and the days of Noah. What was going on? The wickedness, the lawlessness, the mingling of the blood, the weird experiments that were happening that you can find in Jewish writings outside, even outside of the Bible, that confer to what was going on in those days, in the days of Noah. Then you go to the days of Lot, and it specifies Sodom and Gomorrah, the cities of the plains. You have to go to the book of Ezekiel, where it tells you what were the sins of Sodom. And it tells you the fullness of bread, the abundance of idleness. They didn't extend their hand to the poor, and sexual immorality. So it's safe to say that if that was the climate of that day, then that is going to be the prevalent climate, violence covering the earth, days of Noah. Sexual immorality, and listen, sexual immorality by definition is fornication, adultery, homosexuality, sodomy, and the list goes on. In fact, all that's in there. The word fornication in Greek comes from a Greek word porneia, where we get the root word pornography or porn. It was prevalent then. It will be prevalent and the time before the Son of Man returns. So having said that, let me just go right to this article, because I want to use some wisdom on how I talk about this. Listen to this. America is in the midst of the largest cultural transformation that we've ever seen. And this is all stemmed from a new report. Look at this. Check this out. Support for gay marriage reaches all-time high, according to a new survey. At least 70%. And by the way, this is an older survey. This is about a year or two old. So this is probably higher than this. 70% of professed Americans now support the right of same-sex couples to wed, according to a poll conducted by the Public Religion Research Institute. Here's another one. Quote, now this is new. Percentage of LGBTQ. Now think about what that stands for. Lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender. All this, adults in the U.S. has doubled over the past decade, according to a new poll. Quote, and listen to this. This is from NBC News. If younger Americans continue to come out at increasing rates, Gallup predicts the proportion of adults who identify as LGBTQ will, quote, exceed 10% in the near future. Here's a story from USA Today. Quote, broadcast television has never been more queer. And I didn't say that. They did, according to a new study. Now,
it has gone from 3% to 7% of Americans who openly identify as LGBTQ, a significant jump found by a recent study in this country. So why is this happening? We talked to those who have their opinions about this change we're seeing, especially with Generation Z.
Now, let me read this really quick for you. The rise can be attributed to Gen Z, according to Gallup. About 21% of adults born between 1997 and 2003 identify as LGBTQ. Are you shocked by that number, 20%?
Not shocked at all. What's been happening over the years is, and this started, quite frankly, in the 80s and 90s, is LGBTQ plus people are tired of living in closets, and we're very proud and willing to fight for who we are and just to be able to live very fruitful and, quite frankly, normal lives. And as our representation has been enhanced and as people have been, quite frankly, less likely to be feared and scared into being not just in the closet, but not necessarily feeling safe to be open, people are realizing the connectivity of who we are and connecting with each other. And you've seen that with a good chunk of our community being bisexual, a good chunk of our community not subscribing to a cisgender mentality, because people are more open to the concept that sexual orientation can be fluid.
Let's talk about this. 70% of Americans support same-sex marriage, according to the 11th annual Americans Value Survey that was done 2 years ago, the highest percentage recorded by a major national poll. The results released found just 28% of respondents oppose the right of gay couples to wed. Again, this was a poll done in America.
Support of same-sex marriage reaching an all-time high among Americans. That's according to a new Gallup poll. Shanu Herr is taking a closer look at the shift and the impact on the LGBTQ plus community. Shanu, as we are celebrating Pride Month here in June.
Yeah, that's right, Cheryl. When you look at this study, you see the trend go up year to year. A local advocate for LGBTQ plus rights says while we're moving in the right direction, their work isn't over.
Growing up, I didn't think that I would get married.
That's how Trey Toler felt about marriage, being a gay man during a time when same-sex marriage wasn't legal. It was almost exactly 6 years ago that it was legalized here in Georgia and all 50 states in a Supreme Court ruling. Trey has been with his partner, Michael, an 11 Alive sales manager, for 8. He says the advocacy work in Georgia and progress are encouraging.
My relationship with my partner externally, I feel like, receives the same level of respect that heterosexual couples received for a long time. It's like a serious commitment.
A newly released Gallup poll shows support for same-sex marriage in America is at an all-time high, 70% in favor among people polled. When the polling first started in 1996, only 27% of people supported it. Tim Holbrook, a law professor at Emory University and longtime advocate for LGBTQ plus rights, believes it's because more people now openly identify as LGBTQ.
I think it is part of just the process that, you know, LGBTQ people are generally not born into their communities, so when we come out, we are impacting those around us.
And Trey says he's experienced that personally, having people in his life see him for who he is, an openly gay man.
They've experienced me as a human being and as a person.
Holbrook says the support and legalization is now there, but they'll continue spreading awareness against LGBTQ discrimination.
I think that it means that the queer community just becomes part of the tapestry of American culture and American life in a way that is inclusive and welcoming.
Approval crossed the political divide with the majorities of Democrats, 80%, and independents, 76%, supporting same-sex marriage, and 50% Republicans. So don't think just because, and I know some of y'all was like, oh, it's got to be all Democratic. No. Guys, there is conservative Republicans that they're swaying to this. What am I talking about? A cultural transformation. Most major religious denominations back marriage equality too. Let me say that again. Most major religious denominations now support marriage equality, including white mainline Protestants, 79%, Hispanic Roman Catholics, 78%, religious non-Christian, 72%, Hispanic Protestants, 68%, while Catholics, 67%, and Black Protestants, 57%, and other Christian denominations accounted for 56%. Religiously unaffiliated Americans were the most supportive, which is not a shock, with 90% endorsing same-sex marriage. Now, this was a new survey that we just reported on this week. The percentage of U.S. adults who self-identify as lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender, or something other than heterosexual has now increased to a new high of 7.1%, which is double the percentage from 2012, according to a new Gallup poll. Now, again, if you know history and you know prophecy, then this should not be shocking, because according to the Bible, the majority of the world will be in agreement with this when the Lord returns. And you say, well, that's a little bit out there, don't you think? As it were in the days of Lot, so shall it be in the return of the Son of Man. Let me go back. As it were in the days of Noah and Lot, so shall it be in the return of the Son of Man. Guys, seven righteous souls, including Noah, was spared out of the entire populace of his day. That's a remnant. So you could say the majority was anti-God, violent, abominable, wicked, evil. Then you go to the days of Lot, and it was so bad in the cities of the plains that Abraham had to have an exhaustive meeting with the Lord himself, where he was pleading with the Lord not to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah because of the sins that were rampant in the cities of the plains. And again, go read Ezekiel, go read the book of Genesis, and you'll discover what they were. And it was so bad that he said, if I can find 50 righteous in the entire cities of the plains, will you not spare the city? And the Lord said, yes, but he couldn't. And then he said, you know, I looked for 50, couldn't find them. Will you do it for 40? He said, yeah. And then he came back and said, I can't even find 40 in all the cities of the plains. And the Lord said, I'll do it for 30. Had to come back, can't find 30, can't find 20. If I can find 10. And you know, some scholars believe that the only ones that Lot could find was himself and his bloodline. And even some of them he lost his son-in-laws. Read it. When Lot came to his son-in-laws and said, you're going to have to get your stuff together, and we've got to get out of the cities of the plains, because the Lord is about to rain fire and brimstone, because the sins of these cities have gone up before him, and judgment has been set upon the cities, and you have to get your stuff, and you have to get out, because you will not survive. And they looked at him, and they laughed him to scorn, and they said, and they just blew him off. So he couldn't even get them. So the only ones that he could get, because remember, the angels came to him and said, you have got to get your family, whoever that is, that's willing to escape, who have not been succumbed to this culture. Hello. Get them and get out of the city, because we can do nothing until they're out. Translation. We are not going to judge the righteous with the wicked. Oh, that'll preach right there. But here's the interesting point to this. Lot, his wife, and his two daughters, four people out of the whole cities of the plains, escape, and they're headed to a place called Zoar. And in the process of their escape, we know, according to history, according to the Bible, Lot's wife didn't make it. Then, after she was turned to a pillar of salt, the next day, as the sun was coming up, judgment came. They were all destroyed. It points this out. The New Testament talks about that. And the Bible says these were set as examples to the next generation. And those who give themselves over to sexual immorality. For all the people that say, well, you know, God didn't destroy the cities of the Sodom and Gomorrah because of sexual immorality. He destroyed the cities because they weren't helping the poor and because they were full of idolatry and because they were just, they were doing that stuff. And it never mentioned anything about that. Wrong. Go into the book of Corinthians. And it specifies because of sexual immorality. Hello. And I told you what that defined as. Lot tried to offer his two daughters and they didn't want them. You go figure out why they didn't want the two daughters. The men of the city. Go read the book of Jasher. And you'll discover that judges in the cities passed laws to accommodate immorality, sexual immorality in the streets. So again, you think it's bad now. You think the world is such full of abominations and wickedness. We ain't seen nothing yet. Because I believe all that is a precursor to where we're going. But let me get back to this. Lot's wife didn't make it. They get out. It's Lot and his two daughters. The sun comes up, judgment comes. Then his two daughters get him drunk. And they think, listen, they think it's the end of the world and they got to carry on the seed and they got to carry on their heritage. And so they have relations with their father. But what's interesting about this is, here's the key takeaway to this. You had four come out of Sodom, but only one was able to get the Sodom out of them. Or should I say it like this? The majority couldn't get the Sodom out of them. Oh, come on. You get a lot of people out of sin, but you can't get the sin out of them. Listen, just because you take a drunkard out of a bar doesn't mean that they're not going to still struggle with drunkenness. Are you hearing me? Just because you take someone out of a strip club don't mean that they're not going to still struggle, come on, with lust outside of the strip. Come on, there is deliverance still in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ today. Come on, somebody. That's a whole other message. But here's the point I'm trying to make. And the point I'm trying to make is that if Solomon said in Ecclesiastes that there is no new thing under the sun, Jesus born as it were in the days of Noah, as it were in the days of Lot, and you've seen what was prevalent in those days, it is, listen, this thing is going to go global. The whole earth, this will be the new normal. This will be the new normal. Quote, this is from the USA Today. If you feel like you're noticing more LGBTQ characters on screen, you're not imagining things. Across all broadcast networks, nearly 12% of regular appearing characters are members of the LGBT community, according to a new report. Quote, where we are on TV, this was the name of the report. The report documents LGBTQ representation across broadcast, streaming, and cable series for the 2021-22 season ending in May. According to GLAAD, G-L-A-A-D, who works with networks to confirm which characters are members of the LGBT community. The broadcast total is up 2.8 percentage points from last year's report, and marks a record high percentage of of queer characters in the 26th year since the advocacy group began measuring representation on TV. Progress didn't stop with broadcast new record. Cable series saw an increase in representation as well, with 138 characters counted as members of the LGBTQ community, up from 118 from last year, but down from 215 in 2020. In all, the report counted 637 LGBT characters on TV. Again, this is the new normal. New normal. Whether it's Marvel Comics, whether it's TV series, whether it's new movies, whether it's... Look, listen, I know some of y'all sacred cows out there, the Hallmark Channel. The Hallmark Channel. No, not the precious Hallmark Channel. Yes, even the Hallmark Channel has now succumbed to this. What is my point? Again, if you know prophecy, this should not shake you nor move you, because all this is, again, indicating that we are in the time of the end. And this is the new normal. This is the new, this is the transformation of America happening before our eyes. And this is just one angle. We could go 12 different angles on this, and it would take 3 hours to talk about it on this broadcast, and we're not going to do that. And some of y'all are like, oh, thank God he's not going to talk about all that. But here's the point, guys. We are living in, how much more proof do we need? How many more scriptures, parallels, headlines, events? I mean, guys, it is even at the door. I'm telling you, I showed you in scripture that we know now that this is only, violence in the earth is only going to increase. The new cultural normal of the environment that we just talked about, it's only going to increase. It's only going to become more prevalent. So what do we do as believers? We pray. We continue to pray. We continue to seek the Lord. We continue to intercede. We continue. Listen, I believe in revival. I believe in corporate revival. Now, don't get mad at me, but I believe the days of great awakenings, like we read about in Times History with Wesley and Finney and many of those individuals, I just don't see that happening in the future. Why? Because I believe we are now in the age of apostasy. Now, does that mean revival won't happen? No, I'm not saying that. I believe there will be pockets of revival. But guys, I told you a long time ago, I don't pursue corporate revival anymore. I am in pursuit of personal revival. What do I mean by that? In other words, as for me and my house, we are going to keep our oil in our lamp. We are going to keep our wicks trimmed. We are going to keep the fire burning. Because here's the deal. Where there is no personal revival, there can never be any corporate revival. So instead of looking for revival to be a sign on the door or a sign in the yard or a Facebook post or a banner or whatever saying we're in revival, and then you have a bunch of guest speakers and it's really nothing but a conference and people come in and there's really no change or transformation in the body of Christ, because there is not a personal revival burning on the inside, so it can't spill over on the outside. So what I'm saying is, you and I, if you're the husband, if you're the wife, if you're the mother, you're the father, you are the high priest of your home. We are responsible for stoking the flames of revival in our home with our children and our marriage and our business. And I'm going to say it, in our churches and our communities. So I'm not saying throw in the towel. I'm not saying we should give up, and I'm not saying we shouldn't pray. No, if anything, we need to turn it up. We need to turn up the prayer. We need to turn up the devotion, turn up the reading of the word, turn up the intercession, turn up the seeking the face and the glory of God. Because guys, as the enemy, as Satan knows his time is short and he's going to try to wear down the saints and persecute the saints, we have got to turn it up, not sit down, but stand up. And again, we're not wrestling flesh and blood. We're dealing with principalities and powers. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God of the pulling down of strongholds in Jesus' name. Come on, do you believe that today? Listen, I'm going to give you a little bit more information here, and then we're going to pray. Again, download our app. It's free. Apple, Android, whatever device you got, it's free. Get into your hands so you can keep up with this. Subscribe to our main website. Listen, if this ministry is a blessing to you on a continual week-to-week basis, it equips you and informs you of the times and season which we're in. It's a blessing to you and your house. It's a blessing to your family, whatever the case may be. And you would like to pray about becoming a monthly partner. Listen, you can do that two different ways. You can give electronically through the app or through the main website at endtimeheadlines.org, endtimeheadlines.com, or you can give through check or money order, and you can make that out to End Time Headlines, P.O. Box 1391, Monroe, Georgia 30655. As I've always said, guys, listen, the Bible says, give and it shall be given back unto you, good measured, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. And with the same measure that you give, it shall be given back unto you. So God's going to bless you for your giving. He's going to bless you for honoring the word and honoring the Lord and sowing into a ministry that, listen, we're reaching people all around the world. I know we're not a traditional brick and mortar church, but listen, we tithe every penny. We support the poor, the widow, the needy, the orphans. We do all that. And nothing we do is of charge. Our messages are free. Our app is free. Our subscription base is free. We are feeding the sheep. So when you contribute to our ministry, you are just partnering and co-laboring with End Time Headlines. Come on, to do what Matthew 24 says, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel. Listen, I can't get on a plane and reach people. I can reach far more people behind this microphone and with the technology that we've been given than I can getting into a plane and traveling around the world. So we love you guys. We thank you for jumping on here, and we thank you for your support and partnership of this ministry. Listen, we're going to pray right now based on the content in which we talked about today. Father, Lord, we come together in agreement today, and we pray for our brothers and sisters in China, Lord, that are under this communist regime. Lord, their Bibles are being stripped away. They're being rewritten. They're being revised. And Lord, I pray that, Father, somehow that they have obtained the authentic word of God, that it's not been tainted, not been revised, not been removed. I pray that you would sustain them and strengthen them in this hour of temptation. Lord, keep them, Lord, on fire for you. I pray that the underground church in China will continue to thrive. It will continue to multiply. It will continue to increase, and the power of God would reside upon it. And may they cast out devils, heal the sick, and raise the dead in Jesus' name. Father, I pray for every communist leader, soldiers, commanders, people in authority, all the way up to the head of this entire operation. And I pray that just like Saul of Tarsus had a Damascus encounter, I pray that they would have an encounter with a true and living God, that real authentic revival would flip the nation of China upside down for the gospel of Jesus Christ. And Lord, I just pray right now, Lord, that you would strengthen our hearts when we begin to see our nation and whatever that is, whatever you're represented here today and whoever you are here today and what you represent. As you look around and in your cities and in your states and your community and what's going on around the world, and if you're grieved and you're like Lot, who was vexed by the filthiness of the conversation of the wicked, and you see these things going on, I pray that the Lord strengthen your heart today, knowing that just like there was a remnant in the days of Noah that was spared, and just like there was a remnant in the days of Lot that was not forgotten, but was spared by the Lord, surely the Lord knows who his remnant are, despite where you are and who you are and where you are located geographically. And I thank you, Father, that you are able to deliver the righteous out of temptation. And we thank you today, and we praise you today, and we give you all glory and honor in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen and amen. Guys, God bless you today. Again, thank you for hopping on to the segment today, to this podcast. Again, don't forget to share. Don't forget to subscribe. And we're going to sign off for this weekend. And I pray that you guys have a good, great, blessed, and safe weekend. And we will see you again on Monday. God bless you guys. We'll see you then.
Thank you for listening to the End Time Headlines podcast. We pray that you've been blessed and equipped by today's message. For more information about how you can help partner with our ministry, please visit endtimeheadlines.org.